Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to the Hypnotic Comic Show. We are so excited to be here with you today and so happy and grateful to have you on the show listening and witnessing the beauty and magic that is unfolding right before us as it happens live, unedited. This is it. So I am Jenna Grayson. I am your host for the show. And I am indeed both hypnotic and comic call. So let's see here. My next show, I want to let you guys know, the next show is going to be at the Comedy Store where I'm performing regularly now. On Friday, September 28th, going to be doing some good stand-up comedy there. Show starts at 7 p.m. That's in Hollywood, California, on Sunset Boulevard. Big time, people, big time. That's the place where comics, many really big name comics got started, like David Letterman, Jerry Seinfeld, Robin Williams. They got their start there. So I'm just getting started. This is my first year still, and Dave Chappelle was just there last month on the same stage as me in the original room, just the night after I was there, so that's kind of rad. So I am hypnotic in the sense that that's the comic piece. The hypnotic piece is that I offer one-on-one sessions of hypnosis, hypnotherapy, to help you overcome limiting beliefs about yourself and anxieties and fears that might be holding you back so you live a more fulfilled and free, freely expressed life from within, for the blessing that you are to the world. We also have group meditation classes here in Southern California. So today, our show, our very, very special, beautiful, brilliant guest, I'm so honored and grateful to have on our show today the beautiful soul and spirit, Donica Tomkin. Am I saying that right, Donica?
Tomko. Yeah.
Tomko! Oh, God. Hi, Donica. So,
Hi.
We're so grateful to have you here. So, if I could, I'm going to read a little bit from the kind of formal bio that we have for you. Hi, my dear. And then also add a little bit of my own flavor to it, too, okay?
Okay.
Okay. So, Donica Tomko is a beautiful and brilliant holistic nutritionist, and she helps people to live and express their lives through radiant living. I'm going to pull up your... I thought I'd have it a little bit better in my head, but let me see here. So Donica Tomko is a holistic nutritionist and chef, and she helps people to reclaim their health, their radiant health and happiness, and is based in the Bay Area, California, Northern California. She's also available for private sessions, and you can visit her superfood online store at ishopperium.com, and I'll spell that out for you guys in just a little bit, but we'll have a less formal introduction for now. And I know Donica to be this really bright light and pure spirit, and she's got these most beautiful, I don't know what color eyes, but they're like a light green blue eyes, and her energy is just so clear and crystalline that what I've discovered about Donica that's not in her formal bio here is that she is actually what's called a crystal rainbow child, and it's such an unusual sort of title, but I really am wanting to talk with you about that today, Donica, if we could, and also talk about your practice as a holistic nutritionist and what you're discovering through your own perception and your own life experiences. So thank you so much for joining us, Ms. Donica.
Yes, thank you so much for inviting me. I'm happy to be here today.
Yay, that's amazing. I'm so grateful and happy you're here. So let's start with the holistic nutritionist. So, like, what does that mean for people, you know, including myself? I get the concept of being a nutritionist, but, like, why add the word holistic, and what does that mean? Why does it matter to add that word?
Yeah, so,
and why does nutrition matter
to
in this
me,
way?
It's basically a way to express in simple terms that I'm looking through a lens, through a holistic lens, which is seeing people not just as their body, and we're not just looking at symptoms and how we can shift those symptoms with nutrition and supplements and food dietary changes, but I'm also looking at, you know, how are you feeding yourself on for your energy bodies and your mental body, your spiritual body, your emotional body. So we have all these layers to us. And so I'm looking through that broader lens of seeing the bigger picture of each individual and healing on all of those levels.
Okay.
And so nutrition is like, is the basis, like the foundational aspect of starting with that, you know, because if we're not being nourished, not nourishing our bodies and ourselves, then, you know, that's a good starting point to look at how that can be affecting our emotions and our thoughts and, you know, how we're generally feeling and walking and being in the world.
Okay. So what you're saying is that the way that we eat can actually affect our thoughts and our emotions?
Definitely. Definitely does. Yes.
Why or how do you know that? Like, how, I mean, because I feel like the world, in a sense, can be sort of split on this topic where people say it doesn't matter what you eat, it matters more what you think. And then there's other people similar to you that are like, well, if you want to have better thoughts and better ways of feeling, then you should look at your diet first. And so it's like, I want to have that, a bit of that conversation with you about, like, why can't we just say food doesn't really matter? What really matters is just how you live your life and how you choose to think about your life, you know, or think about the world. And why are we putting so much emphasis on what we're taking into our bodies?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a complex topic, and I think that's why it's so split, you know? And
yeah.
So I definitely see it as an and. Like, yes, we need to focus on our food and eating healthy, and yes, we also need to focus on our thoughts. And, you know, they go hand in hand. So, you know, I think people like to simplify and categorize because, you know, they want to be an expert in one thing or something. But for me, it's like it's an and. So when I'm working with people, I'm listening to not only looking at, like, what are their symptoms on the physical level and, you know, and what are they eating, having people, you know, do a food journal so that I can see and that they can see more clearly what they're actually doing, because oftentimes I think, you know, we think, oh yeah, like I don't really eat sugar and I'm super healthy, and then we actually start to write it down, and then we, you know, we can see the real pattern of,
okay,
oh well, actually I eat fruit like all day, that's full of sugar, and, you know, I'm not getting any protein, I'm not really eating any vegetables, you know.
Yeah.
So it's really about finding the balance with that. And then, you know, also, you know, I'm coming from my own personal experience of my own journey. And then also, you know, I'm also looking through an Ayurvedic lens. You know, I studied, went to Ayurveda college for a couple of years. And
okay,
it definitely imprinted a different way of looking at the world, starting with the foundation of, you know, everything, all of the food we eat, all of our thoughts and emotions and sound frequencies, everything is made up of the elemental energies, earth, air, fire, water, ether. And so it's like, it gets really complicated with Ayurveda, so I'm not going to dive too deep into that, but basically, to simplify it, everything, all of our thoughts, all of our emotions, all of the food, all the spices we eat, everything in this universe is comes back to those elemental energies and how they're interacting. So when we understand what, like, the nature of those elemental energies and see how they're interacting, then we can shift them through diet and through other ways, through sound healing and other holistic methods of healing. But just to simplify right now, I'm mainly focusing on starting people off with nutrition, because like I said, I believe it's foundational, and you know, there's all kinds of scientific studies and research coming out now about the gut being our second brain and how, you know, serotonin is produced in our gut, and that's like the happy hormone, happy chemical. So yeah, it's definitely super important. I hope that made sense.
Yeah, absolutely. It absolutely did. Yeah, I appreciate that so much. I want to say, like, I believe everything you're saying, you know, not that some of this is about belief or whether I believe in it or not, or, you know, I think there's the possibility of believing in science, and then there's the possibility of not believing in science. And I think it's an important conversation. Like, I think a lot of people might be like, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard, Jenna. Thank you for putting that on the table. But I just want to also say, like, I do think that there's a possibility to have a conversation about what science says and whether or not we should be believing it, you know. And so on one hand, it's like, I have thoughts that are like, oh my gosh, what I eat totally affects how I feel from one meal to the next. And the more I pay attention to it, the more I notice it, whether it be like brain fog or clear thoughts or feeling bloated and weighed down or feeling sleepy or feeling a stomach ache. I'm aware in my own body that I'm very sensitive to everything, really. I'm sensitive to all kinds of things, from caffeine to unnatural ingredients and unnatural materials for clothes. I have a hard time wearing them. And different environments and chemicals in the air and things like that. So I'm a pretty sensitive person. But at the same time, I want to say I was raised by my mom, who was very much aware of, in a sense, like holistic health, you know, like exercise and eating natural good foods and staying balanced in your thoughts. And I really believe in that. But also there's a part of me that's like, well, that worked for her to a certain degree, but she only lived to the age of 65. And then I have a grandfather who's like really my step-grandpa, and he lived to be 101. And he didn't really follow any of that stuff. He was like in the army and fought in a war and just talked a whole hell of a lot, you know? And he just kind of ate what he wanted to eat. And so I'm like in this place of trying to figure it out, you know, is there one truth, or maybe there isn't just like one science or one truth that's true for everybody. You know, so I want to ask you, how would you understand something like that, Donica? You know, where there's different people having different levels of response from different lifestyles, from, you know, older people. Like, I also have a Jewish heritage, you know, and anytime I go into a Jewish deli, I'm like, this is not healthy food in terms of, like, what we're talking about and, like, really pure, holistic, from the earth, non-processed food. Not that. But whenever I go to Jewish deli, I'm always like, why is everyone so old here? You know, like, there's the oldest people in these old delis, you know? Like, how come those old Jewish people are living so long off of, like, these processed meats?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a valid question. And I think that's where the complexity of the nature of living this world comes in, where, you know, I would say that definitely yes, like living past 100 is a great goal, right? But, you know, it's like, how, what is the quality of those people's lives to a certain point? Like, are they still vibrant and healthy and happy, or are they living the last 10 plus years like in a nursing home, which is the case for a lot of people? But you know, a lot of diseases and death related issues are, it can be genetic, it can be hereditary, it can be linked to, you know, belief systems we may be running that we're not even aware of because it's so deep in the subconscious. It could be agreements that we have beyond this reality to go back to source and start again, or whatever the soul's journey may be. But, you know, I think it's definitely unique to every individual. And, you know, it's definitely not a black and white. Everyone has free will and can choose to do what they will with their body and their minds and how they are in the world. So, yeah, it's an individual soul journey, I would say. But I also, just for me, I feel like, you know, the more people that we can have on the planet who are living a life of peace and harmony and feeling that in their bodies and radiating that, I think it's going to take that to really shift what's happening on this planet right now and all of the devastation and death and decline that's happening with our environment. You know, and we all play a part in that with how we choose to, what we choose to eat, you know, what we choose to spend our money on. We have way more power as consumers than a lot of people realize. Yeah, thanks for asking that. It's a deep question.
All right. We are back from our short musical break. We had some technical difficulties. Our station was hit by an unusual sunny day strike of lightning, but we are back. We survived, and our hair looks good, even better. So, Donica, are you here with me again?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, good. And most importantly, how is your hair?
My hair is amazing. Loved it.
How was that lightning strike for you?
It's a good look. Really good look.
It's a good look. You look good, girl. You're looking good. All right, we're rolling with the punches with our live radio show, and that was fun. That was fun. So I don't know where you what you last heard, but I was last hearing myself anyway talking about you know, sort of like the discrepancy of like my family's experiences and what I learned from different sides of my family, you know. And so I was wanting to get your professional opinion on that and your expert opinion on that kind of thing. Like, why would my grandfather, I'll just kind of make a little review here, why would my grandfather on one side of my family live to be 101 when he didn't really pay that much attention to his food or lifestyle? He just was like a calm, casual, talkative dude who played golf regularly. And then there's my mom, who lived to 65, who was very interested in holistic health. So I know that's sort of a challenging question, but in my heart and soul, I'm like trying to figure out this question, and would love to hear your perspective.
Yeah. So I was saying that I think that's a really complicated, deep question. But, you know, there's a lot of levels to health. It's not just physical. So, and it can be affected by our genetics. So, you know, it could have been in your mother's bloodline that people die earlier, and in your dad's that they live longer. You know, it can be translated into our genetic code. It can be up to the higher mystery, greater power of some, you know, cosmic mystery of why, you know, your mom was destined to leave the planet sooner than your dad. You know, there's a lot of factors than just nutrition. So, okay. You know, that's why I started out saying before that I think nutrition is like the foundational piece where we start. But there's a lot of other factors to look at.
Yeah.
And it's really not black or white, you know.
Right.
We're living in this great mysterious universe where, yeah, we have a lot of scientific evidence and people can believe it or not. But, you know, as a background in science and a deep love for science myself, I like to do my own scientific research. And I have done lots of it over the last 20 years. My own personal case studies on myself of, wow, how do I feel when I eat pizza versus how do I feel when I eat salad, you know?
Yes, that's true for me too. To me, that's like where I go into like, is it really about science? Because while we're one human, I want to say species, I don't really like the term race, but while we're one human species, we are so different, you know? We have different, not only life experiences, but different DNA patterning and different belief systems and different daily habits. And there's just so many factors that while we're one human species, we're so different. And I feel like maybe when my grandfather ate a salad, he had a different experience than when my mom ate one, you know? So it's like, is salad really one thing for everybody? Or do vegetables benefit everybody in the same way? Does fruit affect everyone in the same way?
Yeah, not necessarily. I think not necessarily. And that's why, you know, I also recommend people to actually get blood tests done and to find out what their particular biochemistry, blood type, and also getting food panel, like food sensitivities, food allergy tests done. Because
yeah,
it just makes it.
Piece of it, isn't it?
Yeah, it just makes it so much more clear for each individual to see those things and to have that as a foundation.
Yeah, cool. And you work one-on-one with people, so is that something you can kind of guide people through or counsel people through and, like, how to interpret their blood tests or which blood tests to get more specifically?
Yeah. I can send people a link if they want to work with me on that level.
Okay, cool. That's good to know. Okay, and then I also want to go into this topic. There's a couple other things that I'm wanting to talk to you about. One is that I know that you have identified yourself as a crystal child or crystal rainbow child, and can you tell us what that means and, you know, in the practical terms as well as, like, the impractical terms, you know, like the grounded terms and the non-grounded terms and what that means to you and why we should consider this as a reality for some people.
Okay, yeah. So, yeah, this is another fascinating topic because, you know, I've gone through a lot of many years of self-development, self-exploration, just growing up feeling like, wow, like noticing that I was different, noticing, you know, that I was getting put in all the like special advanced groups in school and just, you know, was always feeling like, I'm not sure I'm really supposed to be here. What am I doing here? Who am I? Like at a very young age, asking myself those questions, you know, at like age five.
Can I ask you, when you're saying what am I doing here, do you mean like on the earth or like in the classroom or what?
Yeah, like on the earth, like in this family, in my school, just, in the whole social scheme of where I was.
Right. So it's like a general feeling of like WCF.
Yeah. So, I don't know how much other people have that experience growing up, but of course, to me, it was very much, you know, my own personal deal. You know, it didn't seem like anyone else was really going through that, even though they probably were.
Maybe. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know that. I mean, just to, like, reflect on it, I don't know that I felt like, what am I doing in this world? What am I doing in this family so much? But it makes sense to me mm-hmm. from what I know about you that would be part of your journey, you know?
Yeah, because, I mean, like you, I also have a lot of sensitivities, and I think that is something that comes with, you know, being like a crystal rainbow child. I mean, to put, you know, I love rainbows, I love crystals, I love the earth. But also it's like I seem to have other kind of psychic abilities, you know, and I think really I don't like proclaim myself as a crystal rainbow child or anything. I don't like really put that out there as, you know, in my bio or anything. Because I don't like to say that, oh yeah, like I have these abilities and that makes me like special and you don't, you know, because I think that all human beings are extraordinary and have special abilities that, you know, maybe they just aren't aware of yet and aren't activated in yet.
I know, and I appreciate that you're like speaking from a place of humility, and I know that that's important to you. I'm hearing you that's important to you to have that level of humility and to say, you know, maybe other people have access, they don't have an access to it yet, or they have their own skills, and some people are singers and some people are mathematicians, and we've all got our strengths and things. But at the same time, this is something that is extraordinary about you and something that is special and unusual. And I think there are a lot of people who are actually in this category and they don't even know it. I was actually talking to a friend's mm-hmm. friend about this subject 2 days ago. We were in the car together and I was looking at her, and she has a really sort of dramatic history with drug use and drug abuse and not feeling like she belonged on the planet, or what the hell is she doing here, and just mm-hmm. feeling everybody's pain and having all these sensitivities that you're describing now. She said, I feel like I've endured every trauma that there is to endure on the planet. And I was like, what do you mean? Like, you've gone through all of these different experiences? And she says, no, because I'm so sensitive. I feel everybody's trauma that's happening on the planet all at the same time. So, mm-hmm. you know, part of why I'm wanting to have this conversation with you, Donica, is also to just say, like, how does a person like that manage this? And also, not only like how do they survive without having to self-medicate and drug themselves out of feeling everything, but also like how do we refine that, you could say, sixth sense or sixth, seventh, eighth sense, you know, like mm-hmm. beyond what ordinary five senses, with that parameter of what we can perceive. We know that our ordinary human perception is limited. We know that dogs perceive things that humans don't perceive. We know that bats perceive things, dolphins and whales, that they have the capacity to perceive beyond our ordinary five senses. And you have the capacity to tap into that. You know that. And I want to also just be, you know, a mirror reflection to you and say, you're at a level of mastery with it, Donica. And like, how do we do this better? And how do we learn from the things that we're not perceiving? Because there's a lot that's sliding by because our perception, we're not aware. We don't see what's happening to the earth. We don't hear what's happening to the earth in the way that mm-hmm. you do. And it's not taking you out. It has not taken you out. So, I mean, maybe was there a period of your life where you were taken out by your sensitivities?
Yeah. Yeah, actually, yeah. When I was, I think at about age 9, I started to shut down, and I started to get really depressed, and just was really unhappy with life, and really just didn't want, I was dealing with a lot of change, and I decided I didn't like change, and I didn't want anything ever to change again.
Yeah.
And, you know, I quickly realized soon after that, you know, I just had to learn to deal with that, because that's the only thing constant in life is change.
We can count on that much.
Yeah.
We can rely on that.
You know, and I still, it was something, it was really more of an internal battle, because I was feeling all of this deep sadness and disconnect and loneliness and grief. But I was also able to still do well in school and show up and, you know, be a top performing athlete and all of these things that, so no one really would question it. And
wow.
I was like, well, I'm still doing well, you know, in the external. So, you know, I didn't have anyone that understood or that I felt I could talk to that would understand. So, you know, and then it was like at age 13, I got introduced to marijuana and kind of used that throughout middle school off and on to like help deal with the feeling of loneliness and disconnect and sadness and all of that. You know, and they, you know, they say it's a gateway drug. And the funny thing was that I probably wouldn't have even known about it had the DARE program not come to our school and told us all about all the drugs. Yeah. I didn't hear about it before then.
Yeah. Dare to keep kids off drugs by educating them where to find it, how to use it, how to make it at home.
Right. That was bizarre. But yeah, it definitely was a gateway drug where it opened the doorways of perception to where, you know, I would, you know, you could say I was hallucinating, but I would start to see these other worlds and other realms became really clear. You know, it was a gateway for me to get to see that and feel that there was an other reality beyond what was present before me. And
I
to,
see.
You know, dream bigger and think bigger outside the box.
Okay, wait. So you're saying, Donica, you're saying that the gateway was not like a gateway to other drugs, like marijuana led you to heroin and opium and... But rather that it was a gateway to other dimensions of reality, other ways of perceiving reality, life as it is, already as it is.
Yeah.
I relate to that, if I could just interject here. I relate to that in my experiences with marijuana. It increases my intuition. It increases my sensitivity. It increases my knowing and awareness. And I receive information that... is sort of beyond ordinary thought. And I think that can sound kind of woo-woo and maybe unlikely or like more like a hallucination to a person that hasn't had an experience like that or doesn't understand it. But, you know, for me, it's they say, or, you know, it's understood that marijuana is a heart opener. And I think that's a lot of where people find healing, you know, whether it's physical or mental or emotional, it's a heart opener. And I don't mean like the physical heart muscle so much as like that metaphysical, more sensory heart in like the center of your chest where we feel that sense of love or heartache, you know, and to open up that place where we've been holding pain or resentment or pain or fear. I said pain twice there. You know, it opens us up to other ways of perceiving life. And so for me as well, it is a gateway drug too, but I've never thought of it that way. I love that idea of it being a gateway into other dimensions of perception, other or larger, broader, more expansive perceptions. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, and I give thanks that, you know, my parents were really clean and definitely were not like okay with that. So I had a boundary there that I was crossing, but. You know, it was like at that point I didn't know how else to cope with what I was feeling, and So it was helping to a certain degree, but it wasn't curing it. It wasn't taking it away. So, I had to continue on the journey.
Sorry to interrupt, but what is the it when you're saying it wasn't curing it? What's the it?
Yeah, just like the depression and the sadness and the loneliness and the grief. That's what I mean by it.
Okay.
That was all of that is like with some kind of energy, just like felt like it was holding me down. Holding my spirit down, really.
Okay, so then what came next? Like, how did you deal beyond that? How did you get to a cleaner, clearer place?
I went to a Catholic high school, private Catholic high school, and was always, like, interested in spirituality. I went to all kinds of different churches and studied all kinds of different faiths because I was just fascinated by it growing up, and I was surrounded by it. And so coming out of high school, I started studying Buddhism and started doing yoga and kind of just had a natural kind of spontaneous Kundalini awakening that I really wasn't ready for, and I actually had no real frame of reference that even was what it was when it happened. And so it was kind of scary because I was like shot out of my body and saw this crazy bright light, and then just got really exhausted because and then I learned later after going through other yoga trainings and having all kinds of teachers and deeper study in that, on that path, that, I realized there's a whole system of that the yogis have passed down to us that helped to lay the foundation to be able to handle these intense movements of currents of energy that flow through our body when we're open and when the Kundalini is awakened. And right. So, I could say, I think that rainbow crystal children, they already have some kind of Kundalini awakening happening, and so they're already that's why we're like sensitive and open and feeling and perceiving beyond, because those are a lot of things that happen when the Kundalini is awakened. So, that's where my study in yoga and study with Ayurveda, as well as incorporating knowledge of herbalism and nutrition, I've weaved all of that together, and that's what I use now. And it really has brought me to a deeper level of strength to, being able to be where I am now, of where I actually have, a lot of times, most of the time now, I have a choice where I can choose to turn it on and I can choose to turn it off. And I'm still not fully, I can't say that I even understand how I'm able to do that yet. Somehow I am. 15 years ago, going to San Francisco would put me into, a state of panic, shock, total anxiety overload.
Yeah.
And now I can go to the city, and I live in the city after 12 years of living in nature, totally avoiding cities because I couldn't handle it. And so I think it's taken years of cultivation and detoxing and subconscious reprogramming and repatterning and spending a lot of time in nature and finding like-minded people who are also sensitive and open and awakened to their abilities. And now that I know that, you tend to attract who you're like, I have a community. I have people around me that I can talk to and relate to and who don't think I'm crazy and don't, speak negatively about everything that I'm saying, which was kind of what I grew up with, just because I was surrounded by people who didn't understand.
So do you now know people, or as you're saying, you have a community now, you know people who also believe or understand themselves to be a Crystal Rainbow Child?
I mean, I wouldn't say that everyone necessarily would call themselves that. But yeah, I think, yeah, there's a community of people that are open and aware and connected to the earth, and that have, you know, higher abilities, psychic abilities, really strong intuitive abilities, the ability to just like pick something up and like feel it and understand it and know it in that way. I don't think it's so common for people to put them in this category, but right. I think it's fun,
not like a,
you know,
it's not a strong self-identifier, right? Like if you're like, I'm a crystal, oh, I'm Donica, a crystal rainbow child, nice to meet you. You shake somebody's hand, give them a business card.
You know, because of this strong desire to connect with people, I try to put things in simple terms, like, oh,
more ordinary terms.
More ordinary terms, like, I'm intuitive.
That's right.
I love nature.
Yeah, that's right. I get it. I love the earth. I love nature. I'm very intuitive, mm-hmm. very sensitive, which is all really true. You know, I think it's in some ways it's kind of like a dumbing down of what you're really experiencing, or that might not be the nicest way to say it, but it is in a sense, because it's like, I always say, you know, you're talking about earlier about vibration and, you know, the perception of vibration and how we can shift things through things like sound healing or sound vibrations to shift the physical reality. But the idea, what I'm wanting to say is the idea of being intuitive and sensitive, it's like one end of that vibrational spectrum in a sense, or maybe somewhere in the middle, you know, like let's say the left side is like, a person is not sensitive, is not intuitive, that they're more just in their left brain, they're logical and linear and reasoning and data-based and analytical, and that's what the world is for them. And then you move towards the center of the spectrum and you're like, okay, now I'm starting to realize that I can feel more and I'm more intuitive and sensitive and feeling. And some people are born, you know, in that spot. And I think a lot of us are actually born more towards the center of that spectrum. That's not bad. Sorry. And, you know, but then the world would have us shut it down and say, let's be realistic, let's be practical, let's be left brain, let's do what they do in school, which is, you know, just looking at information on a page or information that other humans have analyzed and call that reality. And then on the further right end of the spectrum, which I think is, you know, sort of where you're describing to be, and I think I'm somewhere between the middle and where you are, my sensitivity and ability is that there's, on the more right side, there's an even greater level of sensitivity, openness, perception, clairvoyance, clairaudience, where you're hearing a level of communication or perceiving or knowing or seeing a level of perception that's much broader than the ordinary capacity and ability. And it can be overwhelming, like you're talking about going to San Francisco and just being taken out by all of those different erratic vibrations around you. But I think, you know, in today's day and age, it's so important for us to learn how to work with becoming more feeling and also hoping and like being in the world with these kinds of sensitivity so we can be benefited by them rather than being taken out by them. And it's also really how I see a lot of the autistic children, that they're just so profoundly connected with the whole damn universe, that everything that comes in as a sensory input is overwhelming and freaks them out, and then they look like there's something terribly wrong with them, but it's just the freaking feeling it like they're being the fingers in the light socket or whatever electric socket. Does that resonate with you? That idea of there being the spectrum of sensitivity being either like kind of being in your head or being in your just the perceptive ability, the abilities of like broad perception and feeling and intuition that we could call like more psychic.
Yeah, I would say I'm more on that end of the spectrum, and you know, at the same time, it's like I can choose. You know, like I was saying before, I can choose to the degree of which I want to be open to it, and I guess I've learned how to do that by being aware of my aura and knowing what strengthens the aura and what depletes the aura, and really focusing on aura strengthening practices. Has helped a lot. And, you know, I can't smoke marijuana anymore, just because it does actually make me feel imbalanced and like it fogs up my channels.
Does it make you more sensitive?
It throws off my hormones and.
Do you feel like it makes you more sensitive to your environment? Like it softens the defenses of your aura, your field?
Yeah, it actually depletes the aura and creates holes in the aura. And so, yeah, like I had to stop because I couldn't even go out in public if I smoked, because it just gets back to that point of overwhelm and anxiety. And
I'm the same way. Yeah, I understand. So from your perception of being sort of on the more right side of the spectrum of vibrational possibilities of perception and being really sensitive and intuitive and even we could say psychic as a crystal child, I want to interrupt myself here and just say again, if there's any listeners, anybody wants to call in and participate in the conversation, and if you have any questions or comments you want to make for me or Donica, the phone number where you can call in is 888-627-6008. And I'll say that again, it's 888. The phone number is 888-627-6008. So coming back to the question, Ms. Donica, we are here with Ms. Donica Tomko, right?
Tomko.
Oh, my God. I'm stuck at this game. Ms. Donica Tomko, she is a holistic nutritionist. And I am claiming her to be a crystal rainbow child, even if she's going to argue with it. She helps people to live more radiant and a more radiant lifestyle, health, and well-being. And so I'm wanting to ask you from that place of a deeper sense of sensitivity, communication, of feeling people, feeling the earth, hearing, communicating on levels that most of our ordinary human experience that we don't have this kind of communication. What are you learning what are you aware of that you think is really important that most humans are missing or unaware of because we're busy with our to-do list or we're busy with, mundane living and getting things done or, thinking about life from a left brain perspective? That logical analysis and reasoning and scientific, discoveries and things like that. Mm-hmm. But what in your vehicle, your vessel, your perceptive point of view, what are you noticing that we might be missing? From that place of refining your tool of your body, your perception, your awareness. Yeah, what are you seeing? Like, what are you knowing that you think we really need to be paying attention to that might be really harming us and we don't even know?
Okay. So I think that we, this current overarching societal pace that of this quickening with digital technology and, we have the internet, we can travel across the globe in a day. We have all these abilities that, I think our bodies are still haven't fully caught up to. And so with like the Wi-Fi and we're all exposed to like all this radiation, which, ultimately leads to inflammation. And inflammation is you know, the root cause of a lot of diseases that go relate to inflammation. So, yeah, just being aware of that, like not having your cell phone on you all day, every day, like taking breaks, like taking time to do a digital detox, even if it means just like half a day away from your phone, away from your computer, away from TV, you know, away from all of it, like getting into nature and just breathing, feeling back into, you know, coming back to the place of connecting to the heart is really foundational to feel connected, to feel happy, and to not get stuck in the rat race grind of constant go, 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 have to do, 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 and, you know, that leads to the burnout and that leads to all the other, you know, symptoms that go into a lot of the diseases that are really common today. So, you know, the answers are really simple. Just taking time out, take breaks, find a balance, you know, because, yeah, we have, it's great to be ambitious and have goals and want to get things done and make a contribution to the world. But that's a different thing than just like, oh, I have to like work this job to make money to pay my bills and, you know, pay taxes and do all these things that society says I have to do. And I'm not, you know, a lot of people aren't really taking the time for themselves to nourish what or even listen to or feel into or even start to connect with the soul or the heart.
Yeah, absolutely. So do you really think that if someone was to take a digital detox for a half a day or maybe like, let's say, an hour and go out for a hike in nature, that that could actually make a significant difference in their health or their happiness?
Definitely. And also in their productivity. Because they're going to come back with more energy, with more clarity, with a fresh perspective. And, you know, a greater level of excitement because, you know, when we go out in nature and we have this relationship with the trees where our carbon dioxide that we're breathing out, they're giving us oxygen. We have this beautiful relationship where, you know, the oxygen we breathe in helps to purify ourselves and purify our brain and purify our blood and get everything flowing and, you know, I think I just envision whenever I see oxygen going into my cells that my cells start like glowing and smiling.
Oh, that's beautiful. That explains so much to me about you. I'm like, that's what's going on with this woman. That's what's going on. All her cells are illuminated with light and love and beauty, and that explains so much. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there's much more to it than that that you're describing also here today, so thank you so much. So we just have about 5 minutes left, but there's something else that I really want to touch on with you, Ms. Donica, which is that you've described that that you have the experience of the earth speaking to you and speaking through you. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
The earth elements or something like that?
Something
like that. Will you tell us about that?
Yeah. So, I mean, originally it started happening, you know, I guess really from when I was young because I would spend time just sitting out in trees in my yard or sitting in the grass and just sitting there and just staring at flowers and staring at the plants and, you know, eating berries off the trees and just being connected in that really simple way.
Beautiful.
Yeah, really. It assumes us, you know, we are made of the earth. We are part of the earth. And
we're
we have this
naturalist
relationship, you know, and a lot of like, all of this consumer way that, you know, this Amazon behemoth, this like corporate greed, this, you know, this mass spread that's causing all this animal extinction, plastic pollution in the ocean, and, you know, nuclear power plant explosions, and, you know, so much devastation. But, you know, I think what gives me hope is knowing that, you know, because we are reflections of the earth and the earth is reflections of us, that That's where I see if we can start by healing ourselves and coming into connection and right relationship with the earth and coming back to simplified way of being that is more sustainable and more harmonious with what the earth's giving us. That, you know, we already have the technology to create this heaven on earth and experience this heaven on earth. But it's like we can't, I feel like as a whole, we can't see it. What if we're just staring at our screens and, you know, watching Netflix and all every day in our spare time or whatever, yeah, movies or whatever, you know, playing video games, just like checking out into the screen. We can't see it because it's a disconnect. That's not what nature is intended for us.
That's right. And if you could speak a little bit more personally, it might be vulnerable for you to kind of expose this here, but I want to ask you to be more vulnerable and say, are you, and you can say no if the answer is no, but are you experiencing direct communication from the earth, from the earth elements, from relating to what's been happening on the planet or, you know, the needs of the earth as they are in modern times?
I'm not sure, because really it's like I can see what's happening. And I can, you know, I can see the statistics. I can go look at the ocean and see the oil on the beach, you know, and it makes me feel sad, you know? So I guess in a way it's like I'm feeling it through my own emotions. And that's how it comes up and it is expressed through me, is just by that translation into my own thoughts and emotions, by feeling it, by witnessing it, by seeing it. You know, I feel sad when I see like trash on the ground and I'm like, oh, wow, okay, I guess I have to pick this up, you know. And, you know, I feel sad when I think about the fact that like we're such an advanced race, but we are still not using like advanced technology to take care of our trash, and it's just getting dumped into the ocean. And, you know, and I go to the ocean and I feel that sadness. I feel constricted. Like I can't be my totally free human self to just like enjoy nature, because there's so much toxicity that's been created by this current way that humans are living and producing.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Donica. So you also have a website that you're in affiliation with, iShopporium, iShopurium. And you're offering our listeners a code Vibrant Health as one word. Can you tell us a little bit about what they can find there? What is the biomedic there?
Yeah, so we didn't really get to go into the whole glyphosate, but to me that's one of the biggest core issues of health and disease of our time, is glyphosate toxicity in our environment. So Purium, I've partnered with them, I've locked arms with them. They have amazing products, and the Biomedic is a patented revolutionary product that clears glyphosate from the system, reduces it by 75% in only 6 weeks without having to even change the diet. So, you know, it's safe for children, it's safe for people of any age, it's safe for animals who are even more exposed to glyphosate than humans, you know, because they're out in the grass and they don't have shoes. So I wanted to make that plug and get that out there. And if anyone has any questions, that we can talk more about that personally.
Would you be comfortable if I gave out your phone number here, if people wanted to, or the phone number that I have for you here, just talk to you about anything that we've talked about here today more directly?
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. Okay, great. And also you're offering private sessions for people to live with greater or with their own radiant health and happiness. So again, this We are speaking with Donica Tomko, everybody. The amazing, radiant, beautiful Donica Tomko. And she can be reached at 530-215-0572. And I am your host. We're going to wrap up for today. Thank you so much, Donica, for joining us. It's such a pleasure to learn from your light, from your perspective, from your life experiences, from what you've overcome and been through and realized, so that we can all live with greater consciousness and greater awakening from within our own awareness. And I am your host, Jenna Grayson, the Hypnotic Comic. And you can come see me at my next show at the Comedy Store, September 28th at 7 p.m. in Hollywood, California, Sunset Boulevard. So once again, thank you so much, Donica, for joining us. I'm so grateful to have you here. It's been such a delight.
Thank you, Jenna. This conversation's been enlightening and delightful. Thank you so much.
I'm so glad. So I also want to thank Doug, our radio show producer, and BBS Radio. This live broadcast will also be posted on iTunes as a podcast, and we're also now on iHeartRadio, which I can find out some more information how to access that. I don't know quite yet. Nevertheless, thank you all so much for listening and being a part of this unfolding of enlightenment and joy and laughter and moving through the challenges of our human experience together. Together we're doing it so much more beautifully and with so much more light and joy and clarity and compassion. So that's it for today. This is a Hypnotic Comic. We are here live on BBS Radio every Monday at noon Pacific Standard Time. And so we will catch you next week. That's it for today. Thanks so much. Mwah.